we like to ask my church family to pay very close attention, because the message, it seems to be simple, but we have a very unique point that we like to make. Last week, we presented this topic, and as you know, we put now part two. Now, this picture we put together is quite a few pictures. It's not only one picture, it's a few pictures that we put together just to convey the message that Jesus Christ is always welcoming more into his kingdom. But there will come a time when the door will be closed. And when will the door be closed? In Adventism, we call the shut door. When the door of grace will be closed? When the number is up. God has a number. Nobody knows. Angels don't know. But how do we get to this number? Let's go to the message. All right? I put the picture more than once so you can enjoy it, because I really like the way it came out. Very beautiful. Adam and Eve. We all heard about them. They were created in God's image, all of us. It says male and female create him them. It's very important for the man to understand that it was male and female that were created in the image of God. Not only just him or her, but both. And then it says this, and he blessed them. We can find out what is this blessing means when we give you another verse that clarifies a little bit more about what is was so specific about this blessing. And told them and called their name Adam, their name. Notice that it's not a his name. It was their name, Adam, in the day when they were created. Now, the day they were created, there was also a wedding. And when there is a wedding, you share the same name. So it was part of the wedding. They shared the same name. They were called Adam. That's the name, family name. Okay, let's continue. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife. And that says here the purpose. They were created and they became one. So if we are one, we have one name. We have one purpose, one image, one mission. And that is the first emphasis that we'd like to make. Second, God blessed them. Here comes again the same expression, but different. Blessed them and said to them, be fertile and multiply. The blessing here, I believe, it has to do, it says, God said to them, I create you and I want you to co-participate with me in my creation. And that is going to be the blessing. You're going to be at serve to the own creation. Multiply. To do what? To fill the earth. So God had a number. It is part of the plan. And those of you here that knows math, you know that equation, you know that only God knows how many people he had planned for each mile, a square mile, or whatever the plan. But God had a plan when he says multiply, and the objective is to fill the earth. Once that the earth was filled, there was no need anymore to procreate. Now, after sin, especially after the flood, people started having kids faster. But if you look at the Bible, the first ones, when they got married, they would have kids 100 years later. Imagine if we had this idea that, oh, okay, I'm going to get married, and when I'm 60 years of marriage, then I will think about children. It doesn't work. It worked for Abraham, but it doesn't work for everyone, okay? And so because we start dying faster, we started having children faster. What? To preserve life. It's just a process. And so imagine if there was no sin, they probably would have a child every 500 years. It would take millions of years to fill the earth if there was no sin. But sin came and messed up everything. It's put everything on fast speed. And you know what happens when everybody goes fast? More disasters happen, and that's what happened. And it says, take charge of the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky. In other words, I'm creating you to serve. I give you a house, and I give you all the animals, the fruits, everything else, and you need to protect. That was the mission. Then it continues. Adam giving life. It is written in scriptures. The first Adam. And by the way, Adam literally means human. That is the translation. In many Bibles, you have the name Adam. In some versions, they don't have the name Adam. And it says human, a human being, okay? So that's what it means. It became a living person. Some Bible versions will say he became a living soul, okay? But he became a living person, that's the correct. But the last Adam became a spirit. Now, I went to the original to find out because how can the last became a spirit? Actually, it means he became a spiritual being that gives life. So now in the context, it was written in scriptures, the first man, Adam, became a living person. But it was the last Adam, the second Adam, that gives life. One lost life. Another one came to give life, to rescue the life that was lost. This 1 Corinthians 15, we go from 45 to 49, verse 49. Again, continue. The spiritual, which means Jesus Christ, did not come first. But the physical Adam came first. And then came the spiritual Adam. But they both have one mission, to fill the earth. Both of them is the same mission. Because one did not finish his mission, the other one was necessary. The first man came from the dust of the earth. But the second man, or Adam, literally the second Adam, came from heaven. Continue. People who belong to the earth are like the first Adam, like the first man of earth. But those people who belong to heaven are like the Adam from heaven. So which Adam are you? Are you Adam that intends to die or Adam that intends to live? Are you the one who becomes an will be part of the number, because the number is still counting. God is still counting. And when that number comes to the plan that God decides, Jesus Christ will say, it is finished. And then he will come. Just as we were made like a man of earth or Adam of earth, so we will also be made like the man or the Adam of heaven. That is our goal. That is our purpose. And that's why we still live under grace. Both Adams entered the world sinless. Some people have a problem with we are born with sin. That thing, that's not today. I'm not going to address this today. But however, where the first Adam fell, the second triumphed. Again, one came to give life, but fell. Another one came to give his life and triumph. He, you know which one is, you know why I always capitalize and put a different color, because then you know exactly who that he is, right? He made the church holy by the power of his word. Now, the Bible tells me that Adam and Eve together became one to multiply. So now I want you to visualize this. He, the Adam from heaven, she, the Eve, which is the church, and they are husband and wife, and what is the purpose? To multiply to fill the earth. So with that in mind, pay attention to this verse. He made the church holy by the power of his word, and he made it pure by washing it with water. That's the baptism, by new birth. Ephesians, let me read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Now verse 27 says, Christ, the Adam, did this so he would have a glorious and holy spouse or church without faults or spots or wrinkles or any other flaws. And Paul continues, the Lord, this is not Paul, this is Isaiah. It says, Adam the husband, the Lord all-powerful, the El Shaddai, the holy God of Israel, rules all the earth. He is our creator. So who is he? He's talking about Abba, right? Our creator. And husband. And he is also the Savior. He will rescue you. That's Isaiah 54, verse 5, Contemporary English Version. I found this very interesting. Now, continue. Adam, again, this Adam is talking about the Christ. None of us hate our own bodies. I don't think Paul is 100% sure about this thing. Because I don't know about you, I have seen pictures of people that I think they really hate their bodies. Because the things, that the stuff they put on themselves, I'm not talking about just tattoos. I'm talking medals, medals here, medals there, everywhere. They look like they are angry at themselves. So this applies for good sense people, okay? None of us hate our own bodies. We provide for them and take good care of them. Now, remember the body here is talking about the church. Let me make a pause here. I don't have a lot of time, but I will make a pause here and say this. Some of us are very guilty of something that is natural for us in this sinful world. Sometimes we commit this sin without even realizing. We go to a church and we move to another church, and then sometimes we walk and talk to other people and say, that is a difficult church. Have you heard that before? People labeling church says, oh, that is a very difficult church, or that's a very liberal church, or that is a very conservative church. Sometimes we put a label in a church because we met one or two difficult members. Sometimes we label a whole church because the action of one, two, maybe maximum three or four. I have been in a church that a conference sent me to that church. And before I went, the people from the office told me, Pastor Elson, where are you going? I said, oh, I'm going to this church. I have been assigned this district. Oh, we'll be praying for you. I said, what do you mean? I already knew what they meant, but it says, oh, that is a very difficult church. It was one of the best churches in my ministry because there was three individuals there that I arrived, we sat down, we talked, we prayed, and the problem was resolved. Sometimes we do have situations when one person robs the whole reputation of the entire church, and sometimes we participate in the process. We hear and we tell other people without realizing we are against the church, the mother church. We are against ourselves. And anybody who attacks the church attacks the husband of the church, attacks the head of the church. So please, you are entitled to discuss about what is wrong. But do not attack people. Address the issues with the intent to rescue the person, not to destroy the person. So please, none of us should hate our own bodies. None of us should behave like we do not respect and honor the church and the head of the church. We provide for them. We take good care of them. We provide, meaning we return tithe. We give offerings. We give our time. We say, Pastor, is there anything I can do in the church? You'll be amazed how many of you are needed. Just as Christ does for the church, we needed to be providing for the church the same way that Christ has provided for the church, because we are each part of Christ's church. We are the children of Eve, and we need to honor Eve with our lives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 and 30. Adam, just as we will die because of Adam, we will be raised to life because the heavenly Adam. Adam brought us death to all of us by their choice, but it was the other Adam that made a choice and gave us life to all of us. So yes, we are in a process of multiplying, and we needed to be with the heavenly Adam. We need to work with him and for him. Matthew 28, anybody remember when every time when you were baptized, the pastor raised his hand and said what? I baptize you. Pastor should not say I baptize. I said that many times, but pastor should say we baptize you, right? Because it's not the pastor really who baptized the person. It says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Where did this come from? Look. Go and multiply. I remember, brother, you preached a sermon here. Go, right? I remember that. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, not just in a neighborhood. Let me quickly say this. Don't raise your hands, please. Brother Jet, don't raise your hand, okay? Nobody raise your hand, please. All of you here, by God's grace, return faithfully your tithe. I mentioned this before, but some of you may never heard it before. When you return a tithe in a local church, let's make like a number, $100. Of that $100, it goes to the conference. The conference, the local conference, takes $70. Or 70%, and pay all the ministers, all the ministry of this conference. $30 go to the union. The union takes $3 to pay for the services of the union, for this conference and all the conferences of this area, and sends the rest, $27, if you're keeping track. I hope I don't miss my math here, but you follow me, you know the concept. It takes the $27 to the division. The division goes and take $2.70, and the rest sent to the General Conference. The General Conference does the same thing, takes another 10%, but now it's just 20-some dollars left. That is to pay for all the missionaries, the missions and the missionaries in the world. When you return to God in this local church here, you participate in a whole world. Amen. In a whole world. So he cannot go home and say, oh, I'm too old. I cannot go to the neighbors to give an invitation to come to church. Oh, I'm too. If you are faithful, you are going through all the world one way or the other. And when Jesus Christ calls you to the kingdom, He's going to give you a picture of how many people are behind you because you were faithful sending the support so the word could be preached. Amen. So don't feel like it's irrelevant, your faithfulness. Your faithfulness is awesome. And let me say this. Imagine somebody somewhere. I'm going to play the guilty card here, okay? Imagine somebody somewhere not going to church because they did not receive that invitation, because your tithe, God's tithe did not get there, because you are not faithful. So please think about those. But don't be motivated by guilty. Be motivated by love, by faithfulness. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, that is our mission. Go and multiply, because the house needs to be full. And my sister Cheryl mentioned here, why is Jesus Christ hasn't come before? More or less, something like that you mentioned. Until this number is complete, God will not come. That's what is so vital for us to preach, so that number can be, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Another negative point, but it's necessary. Some denominations, and some even Seventh-day Adventist churches, are taking the approach that we need to baptize people, we don't need to teach them all things. Because if we talk about tithe before we baptize them, they will not accept. They walked away. So we baptize them, then we tell them, ah, by the way, we need 10% here and 5% Oh, you didn't tell me this before. They change their minds. A lot of people, they leave the church because they came in with a false pretense, invitation was not clear. And then when they got there, they realized, oh, I didn't commit myself to this. And then all they see is no this, no that, no, no. And they all say, no, no. And they get out. So please, it is important for us. It's honorable. It is decent for us to teach people so that when they made a choice, they know exactly what they are choosing. It's very important. It's when people sometimes are baptized without knowing all the truth, they feel that they are being deceived. And it's not proper. Many people are baptized and many people leave the church, not because they ever been in the church. I saw in a YouTube, I was looking for somebody about the Sabbath, and there was, I mentioned this story before, there was this lady, young couple, and that they were being interviewed by a Roman Catholic program. And the guy said this clearly, said, hey, this is the most strange thing that I ever happened in my life, he said. We have always heard somebody Catholic convert to be the Seventh-day Adventist, but we never heard a Seventh-day Adventist become a Catholic. He said that in the program. That was his introduction. And then she starts saying why she left the Seventh-day Adventist church to marry this man that was Catholic. And according to Catholic doctrine, they cannot marry in a Catholic church unless you profess to be a Catholic also. That's biblical. That's biblical anyway. And so she decided, I have to convert because I don't want to lose this good-looking fella. So she gave up her faith. But then she explained, my parents were very liberal. Seventh-day Adventists, very outgoing. It's amazing when they put nice labels to justify something bad that people do, right? And say that, oh, they were very outgoing, very nice. They went to church once in a while. And then I says, duh, that's why. She's claimed that she left the Seventh-day Adventist. She has never been there. She was never Seventh-day Adventist. And there are a lot of people today that goes around saying, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, but they are not. Just like you find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, people that says, Lord, Lord, we may perform miracles. And the Lord said, well, I don't know who you are. I have no clue who you are. So please, brothers and sisters, make sure. A great multitude no one can find. When I was a very young fellow, very young, long time ago, very young, I saw a picture. And some of you probably have seen this picture of when Jesus Christ talks about the two paths. You know, one is wide, another one's very narrow. And they show this very narrow gate that the guy had to almost going like this to get in. And that is the path salvation. And the other one was very wide. And there was casinos, there was bars, and there were all those symbols of sin. And I looked at it, and that impressed me. And I had the idea that more people would be lost than saved. How many of you have this idea that more people would be lost than saved? Isn't a typical conclusion that we walk around and says, yeah, it looks like more people are going to be lost than saved. I'm going to share my personal view that I disagree with that assumption. And I'm going to give you a Bible verse for you to think about. Okay? A great multitude that no one can count. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number. Would you read with me, please? Because I want you to go home with this idea. Which no one could number. A great multitude, which no one could number. Who do you think is no one? No one, no humans. I believe that an expression it meant only God knew the number. Of all nations, my brother, not only from Israel, it says here, all nations, tribes, peoples, and meaning from every corner of the globe, is standing before the throne and before the second Adam, the Lamb. Clothed with white robes, that means righteousness, okay? With palm branches, symbol of celebration, in their hands. You don't know palm? Do you know why they use palm? Palm is a symbol, just like in this part of the globe, we use evergreen for Christmas tree. It means something that doesn't die. It's a symbol of eternity. That is a symbol of the palm in that area is the same thing as the pine tree. It means a tree that doesn't die. And then it says, and crying out with a loud voice, saying this, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus explained. Now going back to the parable that Jesus said, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Do you agree with that? I don't only agree, I hope that for that. The same words that this individual says, I want to apply in my life. What a blessing will be to see you, my brother and sister, in that banquet. But remember, when you receive an invitation, you must grab it. Because if you don't, somebody else will. Yes, there is a seat right there reserved with your name. I hope you make it. There is a place for you around the table. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. Have you got yours? I got mine. And I remind myself very, very clear about my invitation. When I went into the water, and when I came out, it was the best of the best moment in my life. That day, I was no longer an orphan. That day, I no longer was a lonely person. That day, I didn't have any more the frustration of being without any family. That day, I became part of your family, of his family. After the servant had done this, he replied, there is still room for more. And these words are talking to you, my brothers and sisters. So because there is still room for more, we need to hear what Jesus Christ says, go and preach. So we can multiply, we need to fill the house. the great wedding, so we will be glad and happy and give him praise. The wedding day of the Lamb is coming, and the bride is ready. So, brothers and sisters, she will be given a wedding dress made of pure and shining linen. This linen stands for the good things God's people have done. Righteousness. Revelation 19, verse 7. This is verse 8. Verse 9 says, "Then the angel told me, put this in writing. God will bless everyone who is invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. The angel also said, these things God has said are true." So believe. Matthew 22, verse 29 and 30 says, Jesus replied, "Your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God." Jesus Christ here is talking to the Sadducees. And by the way, it's very appropriate they said Sadducees. Okay, the Sadducees did not believe in resurrection. They believed, well, we have to eat, we have to celebrate, this is it, nothing else. And some people today live like that. They think that this is it. But they came and told that story. Remember? The lady that married one brother and he dropped dead and she married the other brother. Every time I think about this, it's tough to be a brother of that fella because you're next, oof, and dead. You're next, oof, dead. Seven of them dead. And then they ask the question, now which one of the resurrection will be her husband? Clearly, they didn't believe in polygamy, okay? So which one? And that's what Jesus Christ replied. Your mistake is that you do not know the scriptures. How much this will apply today? A lot of people preaching a different gospel has nothing to do with scriptures. It says, your mistake is that you do not know the scriptures. And you do not know the power of God either. And then Jesus Christ continued by saying, "For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given to marriage." Why? There is only one answer. Why? Why they will not get married or give themselves in marriage? Why? Because the house is full. There will be no more need for procreation. It is done. That is the only reason why there will be no more procreation. There will be no more husband and wife. There will be no more the need to fill the earth because the earth is full. That's why. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven, not marrying or giving themselves in marriage. Why? Because the number is complete. And you're in it. All right? So his master says this, "Go out into the country, lanes and behind the hedges and urge everyone. This is still needed so that the house may be full." We need to do this. This is the time. Jesus said to them, "Go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel to all people. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But those that choose not to believe, they will be not part of the banquet. They will be not part of the kingdom." My brothers and sisters, Jesus is the door. And he is this moment in what we call the investigative judgment. He is putting up together the number. Once the number is complete, he will say, "It is finished," and he will come. So my brothers and sisters, I hope you're getting ready for that day. What a blessing to be able to see, wow, this is the moment. I remember when I was 11 years old, I was still attending the Catholic Church, and I finished catechism. And I received my first communion. As those of you that have been in a Catholic church, you know what that means. I was dressed all in white and very, And that day, they will give me some a favorite soda, Brazilian Guaraná, and a nice sandwich, and we have a special sweets, treats, kind of bribe, but that's what we got. That was a day that was the, you know, just like for us, the baptism day. So I remember that very well. And in a catechism, the nun taught me about the return of Christ. But all she talked about is that fire in heaven, it will be burning all the wicked people. And so I had a dream. And my dream, I noticed that the fire was all in the sky. But I was not scared. But I was looking for my aunt, because she was my mother in that sense. In my mind, she was my mother. I was running after, where is she? Where is she? I was anxious to meet her and tell her, please come with me to church, because the end is here. I remember very vividly that the anguish that I had as a child, desperate to make sure that my aunt was not going to be lost. I hope that you don't have to have a dream of anguish about anybody that you love. Talk to them now, not in your dreams, but now. Make them a real great dream to see Jesus Christ. Watch therefore, brothers and sisters, for you do not know in what hour our Adam is coming, our heavenly Adam is coming. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, look at this picture again. See Jesus Christ inviting. And let's see that I hope that one of this, one of those here, may be you.
Amen.
That's my prayer, that you'll be able to see Jesus Christ invite you to the kingdom. May the Lord bless each one of you, and may you be part of the number that the Lord has put together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.